अधामाधावा कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जनवाला बा गिरिवार धारी गोपी जनवाला बा गिरिवार धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना थीरावन चारी जामुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवार धारी यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद शील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवताम की गौ प्रेमनंदी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुगेदर नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नस्तप्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी. Of course, I didn't bring my glasses. So what's the verse? Okay. Good. Wow. I cannot see that. Somebody do the Sanskrit? Want to do the Sanskrit? I can't see it so well.
Dhenaspadam bahumatam maya nayanabhiramam. Ponsnam bapur dasayanam ananya siddhe. Autpattike samagrinam jutam astabhoge. Punsam gatim migayatam iha yogamarge.
Punsam gatim migayatam iha yogamargaya.
Dhyanaspadam bahumatam nayanabhiramam.
Dhyanaspadam bahumatam nayanabhiramam.
Ponsam bapudashayanam ananasiddhe.
Punsnan bapur darshayanam ananyasiddhaya.
Autpattikai samagrinam yutamasta bhoge.
Autpattikai samagrinam yutamasta bhogai.
Punsam gatim mrigayatam iha yogamarge.
Punsam gatim mrigayatam iha yogamargaya.
Dhyanaspadam bahumatam nayanabhiramam.
Dhyanaspadam bahumatam nayanabhiramam.
Punsnam bapudashayanam ananasiddhe.
Punsnam bapudashayanam ananyasiddhaya.
Autpattikai samagrinam yutamasta bhoge.
Autpattikai samagrinam yutamasta bhoge. Punsam gatim mrigayatam iha yogamargaya. Dhyanaspadam bahumatam nayanabhiramam. Punsnam bapur darshayanam ananya siddhaya. Autpatikai samagranan yatramasta bhogai. Only read two? Okay. So should we go into the translation? Or did you do word for word every time? Okay. Translation and purport By His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yoga process. It is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary, but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full in eight kinds of achievement, but for others, these achievements are not possible in full perfection. So we're continuing the purport. A person in full Krishna consciousness acts by the dictation of Krishna. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, dictation is received through the transparent medium of the spiritual master. When one is sufficiently trained and acts in submissive faith and love for Krishna, under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, the dovetailing process becomes more firm and acute, or accurate. This stage of devotional service by the devotee in Krishna consciousness is the most perfect stage of the yoga system. At this stage, Krishna, or the Supersoul, dictates from within, while from without, the devotee is helped by the spiritual master, who is the bona fide representative of Krishna. From within, he helps the devotee as Chaitya, for he is seated within the heart of everyone. Understanding that God is seated within everyone's heart is not, however, sufficient. One has to be acquainted with God from both within and without, and one must take dictation from within and without to act in Krishna consciousness. This is the highest perfectional stage of the human form of life and the topmost perfection of all yoga. For a perfect yogi, there are eight kinds of super achievements. One can become lighter than air. One can become smaller than the atom. One can become bigger than a mountain. One can achieve whatever he desires. One can control like the Lord, and so on. But when one rises to the perfectional stage of receiving dictation from the Lord, that is greater than any stage of material achievements above mentioned. The breathing exercise of the yoga system, which is generally practiced, is just the beginning. Meditation on the Supersoul is just another step forward. But to obtain direct contact with the Supersoul and take dictation from him is the highest perfectional stage. The breathing exercises of meditation practice were very difficult even 5,000 years ago. Otherwise, Arjuna would not have rejected the proposal of Krishna that he adopt this system. This age of Kali is called the fallen age. In this age, people in general are short-living and very slow to understand self-realization or spiritual life. They are mostly unfortunate, and therefore if someone is a little bit interested in self-realization, he is likely to be misguided by so many frauds. The only way to realize the perfect stage of yoga is to follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita as practiced by Lord Chaitanya. This is the simplest and highest perfection of yoga practice. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated this Krishna consciousness movement, the Krishna consciousness yoga system, in a practical manner simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna as prescribed in the Vedanta, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and many important Puranas. Good? Om Jnanate Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yoga process. It is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full in eight kinds of achievement. But for others, these achievements are not possible in full perfection. So this is wonderful that this is not imaginary. Many times due to Daivihesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya, that if we're not in the divine consciousness, if we're not being guided by Krishna from within, we think, well, how does Krishna guide us from within? He's talking about Chaitya Guru, the original spiritual master. So our consciousness comes from Krishna. Sarvasya chahang hridisana vishto matat smirtir jnanam apo hanang cham. According to our desires, what we want, and what we do to achieve what we want, Krishna's guiding us. He knows past, present, future, and he also knows very intimately our desires. Yeyata mang prapajate tangs tataiva bhajam yaham. So the human life is a gift so that we can awaken that God consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Chaito darpanam marjanang bhava mahadivagni nirvapanam. That by chanting Krishna's holy name, this is the perfection of yoga. It's the cleansing of the heart so that there's transparency and brilliance. If the mirror is very dirty and dusty, if you look at the mirror, you don't see anything. It's all dust and dirt. You're blinded by the material coverings. But by the process of meditation and yoga, by chanting Krishna's holy name, that dust is cleaned. And when you have a clear mirror, you can see yourself brightly. And the spiritual master, devotees were walking with Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles. One devotee said, Prabhupada, why did it took so long for the pure devotee to come to the Western world? You know, why it took so long? Because, you know, Prabhupada is the only one who really crossed the ocean and brought the essence of all the Vedic literatures and the process of bhakti, the process of serving Krishna, the process of stopping the cycle of birth and death. People had no clue as to what is the ultimate goal or purpose of life. And they were questioning like that. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what the answer was, but Prabhupada said that somehow, he could see that he was just simply trying to fulfill the mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. In the very early, as he was like 22 years old, he received the instruction from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to take this Vedic language and spread it all over the world. And also, when describing who is God, because at the time, especially in the 70s, there were many imitation gods. We had Guru Maharaji and Bhagavan Rajneesh, and then we had the Munis and the TMers, and the many, many different spiritual groups were sprouting at that time, and yoga was becoming very popular. So all over on the news stations and the hippies were not satisfied. And there was war then as well, the Vietnam War. They were very much against the Vietnam War, looking for peace, happiness. There's no peace anywhere in the material world. And without the Lord exhibiting his divine qualities, it says here that like the perfection of yoga, becoming smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest, able to enter into different mystic powers to control others and create wonderful things. But these mystic powers, devotees are not interested to exhibit or utilize. I was also reading this morning about Lord Rishabhadev, how Navi Maharaj and Meru Devi, they performed austerities to receive a son like the Lord. The Lord said, there's no one equal to or like me, so I will personally come. So he came as Lord Rishabhadev, and because of his beauty and good, wonderful qualities, said his father named him Rishabha, means one with all good qualities. And Rishabhadev, he ruled the whole earth, had 100 sons, and Bharat was the first and also very, very qualified. Before it was called Ilavrata, and now it's being called Bharat Varsh, Ilavrata Varsh previously, but then after Emperor Bharat, it became called Bharat Varsh. At any rate, Lord Rishabhadev, before giving up his kingdom, because he's setting the example that one should retire at a certain point in life and take and finish his business. I mean, all throughout life, whether you're a grihastha, a brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas, our business is to mold our life so that we're hearing Krishna katha in the villages, especially in India. But India was much broader than the present geographical demarcations. They would hear Mahabharata, Ramayana, and just hear the glories of bhakti, chant, bhajan, kirtan. And this was their life. The whole center of their life was Krishna and spirituality. How it can carry on for thousands and thousands of years. If you go to the culture of India, you see so many, even they're finding remnants of Dwarka and different temples that are engraved right from the stone, very mystically, how such wonderful, intricate design and development took place. So we know very little about the real history. So Lord Rishabhadev, the Supreme Lord, he appeared and he instructed his sons. How did it begin, Mr. Panditji? Fifth canto, part one, first verse, fifth canto, Lord Rishabhadev instructing his sons, Nayang deho deha bhajang niloke kastan kamanarate vidbujanye. Yeah. Very, very wonderful. If you wanna really challenge Maya, read the instructions of Lord Rishabhadev. So very powerful, just giving clear instruction that we need to utilize this life for developing God consciousness and not be entrapped of trying to enjoy this material world. Because why are we here in this world? Because we want to enjoy. We want to become the enjoyer. Krishna has unlimited, you know, he's Satchidananda Vigraha, but he's full of bliss. And he has all these wonderful attributes, the most famous, the most beautiful, the wealthiest, the most powerful, the wisest, the most intelligent, renounced. And these are attributes of Bhagavan, of God. And it said that Rishabhadev, he had all these mystic powers, but he was not exhibiting them. Matter of fact, the whole Leela in Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll have to discuss with the pundits, because you know, the Lord personally appeared with such, being the emperor and instructing, giving divine instructions as the inner guru, super soul, and guru of his sons, and then renouncing the kingdom and living completely like someone, like Judd Bharat, you know, that totally have nothing to do with society, and actually people were offending him in many ways. And even though he was just performing such unheard of austerities, showing complete detachment from the body, that the spiritual nature is different than the material physical composition, because all of us are attached to the body, we're attached to children, we're attached to the, you know, wife, husband, relatives. Sati, we know the Leela, when Daksha offended Lord Shiva and then was holding a big yajna, and Sati wanted to go because her sister and so many friends, everyone was getting dressed up. They wanted to participate in a family gathering, but at the same time perform yajna. This is sometimes the mentality that, you know, we have weddings and yajnas and various other gatherings where we can all come together. And this is very, very pleasing because we are social. In the spiritual world, there's love, there's exchange, everyone's harmoniously serving Krishna. There's no envy or jealousy. But in this world, due to the bodily identification, even though Daksha was the direct son of Lord Brahma and called Prajapati, very, very powerful, everybody in the assembly stood up. Lord Shiva, even though he's the son of Lord Brahma, is considered even more powerful than Lord Brahma. But still, there was a family tie. Lord Shiva was married to Sati, the daughter of Daksha, so Daksha thought, my son-in-law is not respecting me. Then he criticized very heavily. But still, Sati was trying to convince, no, no, that's okay, it's family. Even if we weren't invited, we're always welcome. She came there, but nobody would actually welcome her in fear of Daksha. And even though the family, the sisters and mother tried to give her comfort, she was so upset at the disrespect that Daksha had for Lord Shiva that she went into mystic meditation and burned Sati. And because she didn't want to have anything to do with the body that Daksha provided for her. So to leave this material body is not easy, because when as the old age comes, memory starts fading and we have difficulty maybe remembering. The throat is choked up with mucus. They call it gurgur. You know, you hear a gurgling sound. Many times people are afraid that who will take care of me in my old age? You know, I worked hard, family's grown up, but everyone's busy. No one has time to. I mean, it's very noble and very much the duty of the son or daughter to take care of the mother and father. It's such, but many times people don't have that kind of care and they don't have the money to be taken care of in a care facility. So it's a fearful situation. And the reason why we're fearful is because we're embodied. And this embodiment is keeping us on the bodily platform so that we utilize our energy, our hands and legs and our mind and intelligence, so that we can secure what we think will make us happy, which is work hard, make money, and find a partner and enjoy life together and produce more other entities who can also enjoy life with you. And we can all enjoy life together. You know, happiness like that. We're all so happy together. Not in order to discourage, but in order to realign that instead of living just for the day, for the materialists, you know, from the early morning till late at night, they're in their trucks and cars and zooming around this way, that way. They're bombing each other back and forth and all the Senate meetings and all the different world peace organizations. No one is happy. This is the symptoms of Kali Yuga. What to speak of mystic powers, we are in Kali Yuga, we're lazy, we have no good qualities, we're slow in spiritual advancement, very easily angered, you know, fault finders, greedy, lusty, envious. And unfortunately, without proper guidance, even though one may look for a guidance, you know, reading so many books at the library about psychology or, you know, different gurus and different processes. But unfortunately, even after being available to some extent Bhagavad Gita and many different translations by scholars and statesmen and politicians and philosophers, still people didn't understand the message of Krishna when he says, man manabhava madbhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru mam evasisi satyate pratijani priyosame. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me with your prayers, offer your prayers to me. thus you'll come to me. I promise, if you surrender, I'll free you from all sinful reaction. So we have to have enough faith to understand that there is a God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's being glorified as Krishna, the most beautiful, the most attractive. Lord Brahma, the first created being, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he combined, we see Radha and Krishna are the supreme divine couple. Srimati Radharani is most merciful, very kind. They say in Vrindavan, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwade Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hare Priya. She's the queen of Vrindavan. And that if one can please Srimati Radharani, she'll put a good word into you, to Krishna. She'll say, Krishna, this devotee is sincere. He's really praying. He's praying with heart and soul. And it's not an impersonal, you know, magical hocus pocus. That you can see the power in devotional practices, and you can see one who becomes empowered by following the guidance of Srimad Bhagavatam and all the great sages. I'm just amazed that from the beginning of Bhagavatam, how many questions and answers there are about what is the purpose of life and how to achieve it. And you look at it from every angle of vision. We're not the body, we're spirit, soul. Even by performing great austerities, yajnas, sacrifices, no matter how quickly we try to climb up the ladder, unless we have the process of devotional service only by bhakti, bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Krishna's not in need of anything of our offerings, our sacrifices, or our prayers, but the very fact that he empowers us. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he was being told by all the demigods, Lord Nrisimhadeva is so angry at your father, nobody can approach him. Only you can do that. And they kind of pushed him forward, you go. So Prahlad Maharaj felt, I was born in a demonic family. I'm just a kid, a child. What can I say? So Krishna, knowing his intention, he touched his head. And Prahlad Maharaj felt fully enlightened and spoke beautifully. Dhruva Maharaj, by performing yajna, sacrifice in Madhavan, in Vrindavan, within a very short time, the Lord manifested himself. And the Lord appears again and again for Priyavrata, and then also just to give the, it comes as King Rishabhadev, so many incarnations of the Lord. In so many Puranas, Itihasas, histories, Bhagavatam, Lord Vyasadeva was very kind. He took the one Veda and divided it up in four different sections so that it can be explained to the persons in this age of Kali Yuga who don't have the ability, they're not fixed in their determination, nor are they able to comprehend the spiritual message from the guru. It sounds very beautiful that we're not the body, we're eternal spirit souls, the soul is everlasting, always existing, we're not the body. But still, being conditioned life after life and in the bodily platform, it's difficult to overcome this maya, the illusion, and to somehow or other, don't waste this human form of life. So we have an opportunity, wonderful opportunity. The times may have changed from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. We're, you know, progressing. Although it's only a few years in Kali Yuga, it seems like it's really roller coaster or snowballing. You know, snowball small, it gets big and faster. And it seems like people are rushing to the hell much, much quicker. And somehow, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, we've been given an opportunity to be introduced to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is Krishna, Prabhupada giving Krishna to everyone. And we have to, like the swan, it can extract the milk from a mixture of water and milk. It has that ability. That's why swan, Paramahansa,
So we have to extract the spiritual essence from and see that everything around us is just a temporary reflection of the spiritual world. Of course it exists. It's very beautiful. But it should be utilized. Everything should be utilized in the service of Krishna. And how to do that 24 hours a day, all day long, how we can think about Krishna. Like Ambarish Maharaj, he used every limb of his body to serve the Lord. So this is the opportunity we have. We learn the morning prayers, Sang Saradava, Nala Lida Loka, Trinaya Karyana, Ganaganatam, Pratasya Kalyana, Gunar Navasya, Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. And all of the eight standards by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he blesses that one rises early in the morning and chants this wonderful prayers of auspiciousness to the spiritual master, then he'll get the realization that how to serve the deity, to clean the temple, to chant together, to chant the holy name, to offer all your food to the Lord properly. In just a few stanzas, it pretty much covers how we can engage ourselves in spiritual activities. That we have to eat, so you cook nicely, offer to the Lord. And we may have some attraction for the beauty of the deities, but Krishna's present everywhere, but he's especially present where the devotees are chanting his glories and glorifying him. So this is the whole purpose of our small gatherings, big gatherings, is to enliven our enthusiasm, because without enthusiasm and determination, it's very hard to be steady, just like New Year's resolutions. Most people, they may make a resolution, but very difficult to follow, isn't it? But if one has that dridhavrata, vyavasayatmika buddhi rekeha kuru nandana bahushaka hyanantascha buddha yo vyavasayanam. Materialists, their brain and their desires are many branched, always looking how to become happy in this world. Let me try this, let me make this adjustment, make that, maybe this one isn't the right one for me, I need somebody else. Or, you know, I need more family members, I need more money, I need security, I need to be in a government situation where I feel protected and safe. But this is the problem, that we're all going to suffer the whips of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, old age, disease, and death. And it comes very quickly. It may seem, 100 years, long time, no problem. I can do a lot of things in that time period. But then you look, 50 years have already gone, 70 years have already gone, 80 years have already gone. And now we become very much compromised in our strength, in our so-called intelligence. But Krishna is still giving guidance, teshang satata yuktanam, to those who are constantly thinking, worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna is communicating. We may not be able to see Krishna in the heart in the form of Paramatma. We may not understand how is he guiding me. Just the very fact that you're thinking, you know. Yesterday I thought I'd try something new. I put the harmonium down and next to my drums. I played the pedal and the hi-hat. And I thought, well, who gave me this idea to play my harmonium? And I got my drum and pedal for the rhythm section. And I thought, this must have been Krishna somehow. He approved of the, I like the idea, so maybe he gave us the intelligence how to do it. Otherwise, where does intelligence come from? Where does the mind conjure up, and where the senses are, you know, just instruments which are wrapped around us, like the robots are now becoming very popular, isn't it? Robotic people, they uncover, they show all their electronic tools. So we're covered by the bones and skin and the network system of veins and muscles and all the different necessities to make the human body function. But that's coming from Mother Nature under the guidance of Krishna. Maya yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Krishna's controlling the sun, the moon, the rain, the air, you know, the circulation, everything floating in space, all the production, flowers, fruits, you know, isn't it? And what to speak of the details of the material body. In order to facilitate our spirit of enjoyment, we've been given a material body. That give this a try. The elephant body didn't work, maybe, or demigod body. You had so many years of enjoyment in the heavenly kingdom. That should be all you want. But all that is just temporary. Our nature is that we're Satchit Ananda Vigraha. We're eternal. We're full of bliss, full of knowledge. And until we come up, reawaken our Krishna consciousness, there's no possibility of getting free from the prison house of Mother Nature. Durga has a thankless task. She keeps all those who are criminal-minded, who are jealous and envious and lusty, keeps them in the material world. We think, well, this is Brahma's benediction to everyone. Everyone has this lusty desire because that's why we came here in the material world, to enjoy. So you're given different bodies, maybe heavenly, powerful bodies for long duration of life, or maybe a meager human form of life, 100 years, or maybe animal body. They also enjoy in various ways. But the basic enjoyments are the same for everyone, and one might be eating from a silver plate or, you know, a leaf plate. The taste is still the same. So we have to have, first of all, Shraddha, and this faith that Prabhupada didn't come to cheat us or just to be glorified. He was very, very humble. Never took, this is a Krishna consciousness. And he wasn't never promoting himself. But at the same time, he's leading by example, by always glorifying Krishna, whether it's a morning walk, a room conversation, arrival address, departure address, Bhagavad class, a seminar, Pandal program with 30, 50,000 people, being with the governors or the executives at the house in France or Switzerland, or, you know, meeting government people. Prabhupada was focused on glorifying Krishna and awakening all those who are fortunate enough to be in Prabhupada's association, that we should also maximize our time for hearing. You think, oh, ritualistically listening. No. Every day hear the Bhagavatam, hear the Prabhupada lecture, read also yourself so that you can, and many things may not tally with our, you know, so-called intelligence or reasoning and logic. Like, I still can't understand why Lord Rishabhadev went through so many austerities at the end. I'll have to speak to someone that can enlighten me about that. But the whole idea is that there's so much mystery and so much we don't know. And Srila Prabhupada is taking the essence of all the acharyas, and he's presenting it in such a wonderful, digestible way that, as I said earlier, many people have read or commented on Bhagavad Gita, but not one devotee. Srila Prabhupada is at Bhagavad Gita as it is. The message of Krishna is crystal clear. So many devotees. And then further elaborated in Srimad Bhagavatam by so many wonderful transcendental questions and divine answers. And the Supreme Lord is speaking to them and instructing. There's Gajendra, there's the so much Leela throughout the Bhagavatam, and the Lord appears under different circumstances. So this is very intriguing. This is philosophical, historical, and also everyone wants to hear about good battles. So many good battles are there, isn't it? You read Krishna books, so many good battles. And even in the Christian era, you see many pictures of angels fighting with demonic forces. And that's what's happening in the material world. The devotees against the demons, and the demigods are always there to represent the Lord and protect and provide our necessities. And there's some religious necessities of offering sacrifice and worship according to tradition. And then as far as the other living entities, the movable and non-movable, the animals, everyone just going through a cycle. Karmana Daiva Nitrena, they performed certain activities, they had certain desires. Due to their karma, Mother Nature put them in the womb of their particular mother. And so everyone's experiencing life in the prison house of material world. And so it's such a great fortune We should be filled with gratitude for Prabhupada bringing us an opportunity to understand that Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. Krishna is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and we're Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. We're Krishna's eternal servant. And a servant, imagine being a servant of the most powerful person in the God. Being God, this is God's servant. You think, oh, you know. So it's not like we're in a degraded, it's a very exalted position. Not that you should want like that, but I'm saying that we should be proud that we're servants of Srila Prabhupada serving Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. That's why we're eager for book distribution, for kirtan, for prasad distribution, because we want to give the mercy of the Lord to others, and this is a symptom of devotional service, one who's doing it. Prabhupada is saying, when the devotees who are addressing the deities, they're in samadhi. Those who are distributing books, they're in samadhi. Those who are cooking for the deities, they're in samadhi. Those who are cleaning the floor, because you're meditating, that we're doing this activity for the pleasure of the Lord is considered the highest meditation of all yoga, of yogis, that we're thinking of Krishna and doing out of love, serving him like that. So this is a very obviously deep meaning behind this. Srila Prabhupada went 4 or 5 pages of explaining. You could just imagine he's sitting in the dark, 1 o'clock, 12, midnight, with all the acharyas, translations and on the verse, reading the verse, hearing, and then being guided by Krishna from within to give us an understanding of what is being said here in such a wonderful way that it's been class has been going on 3-4 days now. We're reflecting on it from this angle and that angle. And it's not just fanaticism and mindlessly following some religious charismatic personality. That very charismatic personality, Srila Prabhupada, is giving full jnana. Then vairagya can come, isn't it? Jnana vairagya. First you need understanding, and you have to be eager to hear that. And then naturally the renunciation will come, that we'll want to give up this material world, but not artificially. We don't want to imitate, we want to follow. We follow as we're being instructed by the guru parampara, but not imitating in a cheap way, you know. Although imitation is the best flattery for someone, that, you know, you're flattering someone by imitating them, but in the spiritual process, we want to follow in a very happy mood. Krishna is always happy, his devotees are always happy, so we have to become happy that we're going back home, back to Godhead. Just have to, you know, apply the formula in the life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So anyone have any questions, comments, corrections?
Thank you, Prabhu. You mentioned that it's actually a very exalted position, the servant of Krishna.
Yeah.
I remember one devotee was being introduced by another devotee once, and that devotee who's introducing him referred to him as a friend. And then when the devotee who is going to speak starts, he said, you called me, you referred to me as a friend, but I don't even feel like I would be qualified to be your servant.
Mm.
I mean, it was a very nice, humble
One time
realization.
In Vrindavan, someone was saying, oh, Shruta Kirti here, he's the secretary of Srila Prabhupada. And I said, no, he's a servant of Srila Prabhupada. He goes, yes, I'm the servant of Srila Prabhupada. So there is a distinction. Although we might have a different analysis of the servant, but it seems to be more intimate. Secretary is more formal, but servant is more intimate.
Thanks, Prabhu. Very nice class. Was there some kind of difference between Lord Shiva and Prajapati before Sati got married to Lord Shiva? Because Lord Shiva married Sati, there was such the hatred in Prajapati for Lord Shiva? Or there was something else before that? Because they're both the sons of Lord Brahma, right?
Yeah, they're both sons of Lord Brahma. I mean, my understanding is that although Daksha was very, very powerful, very exalted and honored, when he walked into the arena, he was very brilliant, and everyone was offering respect because he was the direct son of Brahma. So it's, you know, out of etiquette. But it still shows that even great personalities who are highly intelligent, qualified, they still are attached to that adoration and distinction that, you know, he wanted. How can my son-in-law, even though he's the great Lord Shiva, they felt superiority that he should have, you know, welcomed me and respected me. So he just went on an outrage, and we see what happened to Daksha, you know. He got beheaded eventually and got it, you know. So it shows how even with good parentage, being very, very powerful, still one is on the bodily platform, destruction will come, you know. So I don't know if they had any previous fights prior to that. Maybe they did. But there's always this mother-in-law, father-in-law kind of issue going on in the material world. So maybe it kind of emphasized that a little bit as well, maybe. Anyone else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the glasses. They helped.